Even though the podcast is not officially up and running again, this is Tim Patterson, Trade Show Guy. And yes, the Trade Show Marketing Podcast is upon you for at least a moment or two. I had a chance to reconnect with Lou Hoff of Bartizan, who has the program, the app called iLeads, and things have evolved over the last several years since we last chatted with him. So I thought it would be worth catching up with Lou to find out exactly what's going on with iLeads and other stuff in his world. It's from Communication One Exhibits, the Trade Show Marketing Podcast.
Let's talk about Bartizan and iLeads and all of that stuff, because I suspect that things might have evolved and changed since we last checked in, which is probably, I'm going to guess, 3 or 4 years ago. It's been a while.
Well, in 3 or 4 years, well, it wasn't as much as 4 years ago.
Okay.
Because we introduced iLeads in late 2009, December 2009. So I'm guessing maybe it's 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that. And yeah, a lot has changed in the interval.
And so how is iLeads doing for you?
Very well. In fact, we no longer manufacture terminals, and once the terminals we have, frankly, I don't understand why anyone rents terminals. If they were to ask me, I'd say don't. In fact, I just wrote a blog post today, I don't think it's been published yet, about that very thing. There's just so many reasons why an app is superior, particularly iLeads, I like to think, superior to a terminal. It just, to me, makes no sense to do otherwise. And we just had earlier today had a meeting where we were discussing various customers and those who had migrated from renting terminals to, whoop, that's the reminder that I'm late for the call to you.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
So most of our customers are moving, some of them slowly at first, but then once they've tried iLeads, they find that it's better for the end user experience is better. If there is a reseller, a reg contractor, for instance, it's a lot easier for them. The only people who could complain about it, I think, are FedEx and UPS. That was always a big cost for users, and so that's disappeared. But primarily, it's a case of there's a lot more utility in iLeads than there is in any terminal. And the number one reason for using an app as opposed to a terminal is terminals don't get carried around. So
right.
Most people I know, the furthest my iPhone is away from me is when I go to bed at night, it's on the nightstand. So it's within arm's length. Other than that, it's always it's either in my pocket, on my desk, or whatever. Once someone goes to a trade show, they think that, gee, I'll just use lead retrieval on the show floor. But when I meet people at a seminar, at the bar, at a reception, oh, I'm just not going to bother with the leads. Makes no sense.
And because they could be very good leads.
In fact, if I think back, I'd say probably a lot of my very best leads have come from socializing with someone. And I can remember at times writing on the back of a business card and then saying, what the heck did I do with that business card?
Exactly.
Yeah. So to me, that's the number one benefit of iLeads as opposed to a terminal or any other way of collecting leads is you can always collect a lead. You can make voice notes. You can customize your qualifiers. You can do a lot of things that make recording a lead really simple. And if when leads are simple to collect, they get used.
So on the show floor, do you find people use iPads more than iPhones or a smartphone versus a tablet? Or does it lean to one direction or the other?
No, I'll tell you, there was a point where I thought the iPad would be the thing that would be most used. And a lot of people do use iPads. And so it seems like some companies only will use. I'm thinking at a show where we were that we participated in ASAE's annual meeting, and there were those exhibitors who only used iPads or other tablets. It didn't. It seemed to me that people rarely use both. They either use their smartphone or they use a tablet, and you'd have a number. The other thing that I noticed with an app as opposed to a terminal is there are a lot more exhibit staff using an app than would use a terminal. A terminal, they share it, and I think to their detriment, and it's obvious if you're sharing a terminal, well, you're certainly not using it at social events. But with an app, there have been events where we have a couple of dozen or more exhibit staff using the app. We never rented that many terminals to one exhibitor. I mean, they...
Right, so they're all logged in on the same account, so everything lands in the same central warehouse, as it were. Yeah.
And
I suppose you can slice and dice all the information that goes in there. As to, you know, A lead, B lead, C lead, warm, cool, what the next follow-up is, all of that stuff. I presume that's all customizable, or at least that's available to use. So how has the app itself evolved since you first launched it? What things have you discovered that clients want?
Well, one thing you just touched on, you talked about hot leads, warm leads, cold leads. One of the things... And initially, we didn't make it as easy as it should be, is customizing qualifiers. The exhibitor can do this themselves now. They don't have to go to us or anybody else to customize their qualifiers. And if you can customize a qualifier, then you can be very specific. You can say, interested in widget, deluxe widget, super deluxe widget. So... simply by tapping their finger on something, they've got a lot more information than it, just a hot lead. A hot lead for what? Well, here's the product that they're interested in. So that was something that people wanted. And then the next thing, initially, you had to customize it on each device, which was clearly not optimal. So it wasn't that long ago where in our back end called Leeds Lightning, we made it possible so someone could go in, and if they had 25 staff members using iLeads, they could set them all up at one shot. So customization is important. Another thing that a long time ago, we did a focus group, and people talked about, if we could have voice notes. Well, at the time, we had a version of voice notes, and it never caught on, and with good reason, because this goes back 5 years ago, 4 years ago. The voice notes that we had, you'd make a voice note, and it would be an audio file, a WAVE file.
Right.
Not really convenient when you're following up on leads to have to go in and listen to audio. So now what it is you can make a note. You just tap the little microphone icon on your smartphone and record your note, and it converts to text, and you see it right in front of you, so if necessary, you can edit it. People really like it. I know when I'm actually working at a trade show, I love it. So much better than taking out my reading specs and having to... I've had that issue too long. It's just really easy if you can just speak and
yeah, that's what I like. You know, I've had an iPhone, a couple of them, for the last, I'm going to say, 5 years. But you know, what I really like is that the technology keeps advancing, and you can narrate texts now, and it converts it to the text right in front of you, so you can see exactly what you're getting in real time. And so these types of things, you know, I'm sure get folded into apps like what you guys have. So in the marketplace, I'm curious, a couple of things. You know, how is your ability to outreach and get more people and get more companies involved? You know, what's your main market? And then what kind of competition do you run into?
Well, as far as getting companies involved, one thing we're finding is that at a given event, if we compare an event that takes place, say, this October with the year ago October, the same event, and maybe the year before, we find that there's an increasing usage of iLeads. And some of these events, we offer hardware as well as iLeads. And you can see over time, people are moving away from hardware.
Uh-huh.
And the second part of your question was?
What kind of competition do you run into?
As far as the competition? Well, I found it interesting when in December 2009 at Expo, when we introduced this, I heard some remarks like, you're going to ruin lead retrieval, that it's you know, this is kind of rinky-dink, but slowly but surely, almost everyone has come out with a version of iLeads.
So, right.
That isn't entirely bad. I mean, I've had people here at Bomonchi, we had that all to ourselves, and in no time, people started copying us. Well, the point is.
Well, it shows that there's a market for it. And you know, if you're in the lead of it, and then you can keep developing and just be a step ahead of everybody else, and just have better service, you're gonna get your share of great customers.
Yeah, if no one adopted it, then I'd say obviously there's something.
What are we doing here?
Why are we doing it? Right. The other thing that came up, and this was at a meeting today, someone said, you know, this is really frustrating. Apple now just announced, as I knew they would, that by February we have to upgrade to be in compliance with iOS 8. And this always happens. They upgrade and they do it even in between new operating system releases. They come out with stuff. Well, one thing that provides somewhat of a hurdle for a lot of companies, because there are people who have created iLeads-like apps, and they create them, and then they don't constantly upgrade. And pretty soon they find out they don't work too well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, it's an expense. It's something that it means we have constantly to be making changes to the software to keep up with whatever Google does and whatever Apple does. But that does give us a competitive advantage as long as we keep up with them. If we don't, well, then we're in the same boat as the companies that don't invest in that.
Yeah, so that's just part of your cost of doing business, and part of the cost of keeping the app as current as possible.
Yes, and I, as I say, of course, I'm not a software developer, so to me, it's I don't have to do it. You have to do it.
Yeah, you just got to hire it out.
I think it's great that you have to do that.
Right. I'm curious if you can reference any case studies in people that were, say, resistant to using a technology such as yours. Maybe they're writing everything down and stapling business cards to, you know, notebook pages and stuff like that. And maybe they were resistant because technology or the cost, the fear of getting into something new. And what kind of things that happened when they got a chance to see it up front?
Well, that reminds me of somebody at ASAE. There we were one of the two official providers of lead retrieval, the other one being a company that was providing, and we were providing a mobile app. And before the show, I went around and talked to people, and there was an exhibitor, the name of which escapes me at the moment. Maybe it'll come to me. But as I said, I'm 74, so I have an excuse for not remembering things.
I'm using that excuse now. Come on.
So this gentleman, I asked him if he had ever used iLeads before. He had not, and he wasn't too happy about the idea that he had to use an app as opposed to a terminal. He was used to using a terminal. So we chatted a little bit over it, and I got a very nice email from him following the show. And he said, this was a great experience. It was so easy to use, and I collected so much good information. If you need a testimonial anywhere, I will be happy to provide it.
Nice.
So he was skeptical at first. I can think of a couple of two customers right now. Now, he was an exhibitor. I can think of two event organizers, one of whom has not switched to, in fact, is not a customer of ours, who told me that he's just skeptical lap, and right now he's reluctant to do anything in that regard, to switch from using terminals. The other one, and they're both in the northeastern United States, the other one did switch, and he told me this has saved him an enormous amount of money and an enormous amount of work. So he's just delighted with it. I can think of somebody else, again, not in the mid-Atlantic, again, a registration contractor who we talked to about iLeads for a long time, and he kept renting terminals. And then finally he said, I'll try this out. I have a small show. I'll try it out. And he came back. He said, you know, this is great. I've saved, I forget the figure, a lot of money in shipping costs. This was a key thing for him. I saved all of this money on shipping costs. And to keep his shipping costs low, what he used to do is dispatch a company truck here to pick up the terminals and return them. He said, just too costly to ship them by common carrier or FedEx. So he used to use a company vehicle to pick up. And he said, another thing now, he said, I've got some people that lost business out of this, but this is great. I don't have to send the truck back and forth. So he's switched, I think, entirely to iLeads. I don't believe we're getting any more terminal business. And the fact is, I am looking forward to the day, which I hope will be December 31st of 2015, when I can take whatever terminals we have and ship them off to their final resting place.
Aha. So he's saving on shipping costs. Are people saving on labor, time investment, just this, the whole idea of when it gets in the system, it's easily accessible everywhere? There's got to be some cost benefits there.
There are a lot of cost benefits. One thing that, first of all, if you're shipping terminals, if you're a reseller, if you're a reg contractor, you have to ship terminals. You have to ship people as well. You have to have people on site to distribute them, to collect them, to instruct people how to use them. And that's, to me, is a real issue. There are a lot of terminals that are very effective, but they're unique. They're dedicated machines. And now someone stands in line, they come up to the desk to get their terminal, and here's how you use this. Now, they may have never seen it before, and maybe they'll never see it again. Next month, they have another show, they're going to have another terminal. So they're told, here's what you have to do. Much of it they're not going to remember. But they're also asked, when you go back to your booth, oh, you have 10 other people there? Well, have them, you explain it to them, or have each of them come up here. So it doesn't happen, and what does happen is there are a lot of the features of terminals that are never used. So you have, for the provider, you have the cost of shipping the equipment, having people on staff there to distribute and collect it. For the exhibitors, their cost is having to stand in line to receive it and then return it. And I just saw something, and I had it here on my desk. It was a registration contractor that was giving instructions to exhibitors, and the, in essence, I don't have the exact numbers, but it was, first of all, to get your leads, you'll have them by 10 o'clock the next day. Well, with an app, you'll have them now. Another thing is, if you're more than, I think it was 2 hours late, you'll be, there'll be an additional, I think it was $300 fee on top of your rental. And if you don't return it within 5 days, the cost of the terminal, on top of the fees you've already paid, is $3,000. Well, if chances are, if you're using your phone to collect leads, first of all, that phone is near and dear to you. You're not going to lose it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to pay $3,000 for it either, if you did. So those are some of the costs. And for the whoever is distributing these, there's a lot of accounting to be done. If it's their own equipment, they have a big investment in equipment. If they rented it, they have to account to someone like us. Here are the terminals. Yeah, some of them are damaged. What are you going to charge me for those? All the way around, there's a lot of friction. That who needs it?
And boy, that just makes sense that you have. You're just, like I say, reducing all that friction by just having the software. So you're really, in essence, becoming a software company. So do you work with show organizers or exhibitors, both? How does that work?
We work with both. There's one other thing I failed to mention. With equipment, it's always been a case of someone will order, and they want to have enough for their exhibitors, but they don't want to have too much because then there's an additional cost to them that they're not going to recover. With an app, if someone is on site and they fail to get lead retrieval, they can order it right then and there, and zingo, they've got it. So that whole business of having too little, too much inventory, that goes away. There I go again.
Let's say an exhibitor that I like, a client of mine who's going to be exhibiting at Expo West in March, can they just contact you and say, you know, we want to use this in our booth? Do they need anything else other than telling you?
Yes. Now it reminds me. What you asked, do we sell to organizers or exhibitors? It's a two-step process because we need the cooperation of the organizer to share their database.
So they can scan badges and things like that, or
to access. Either we want to access the database, or if they're using a PDF badge and all of the information is on the badge, no, we don't have to access the database because our app will read PDF 417. But more than likely, there's additional information that is not included in the badge itself. So you have to scan it and pull that information in. So we have to sell to the organizer first, get their cooperation. And then they provide us with the list of exhibitors, and then we have to sell each exhibitor.
I see. Okay. So if an exhibitor came to you and they're the organizer of that particular show, they were not involved and they weren't interested for whatever reason, then for that show, they'd be kind of out of luck.
That's right. We tell people iLeads could be used in conjunction with other lead retrieval. Why don't you ask your event organizer if they'll allow us to provide that for you? Sometime they will, but frankly, most often they won't, because they've got a reg contractor who says, if that business goes away, that's business I could have had. And I understand that.
Yeah, so you're running up against another organization which wants to keep it proprietary and things like that. So you've got to find a way to make it worthwhile to everyone all around to make it, like you say, take away the friction.
Yes. So in the case where we're selling licenses to reg contractors, they in turn are dealing with the event organizer. Then there are those event organizers that do their own registration, and they deal directly with us.
And let's wrap this up here, Lou. I think this is a great conversation. It's been a lot of fun. But if someone wants to find out more about iLeads, what's the best place to send them?
Well, they can go to www.bartizan.com. They'll find a lot of information. Our blog contains a lot of information, not sales promotion, but information about that's valuable to event organizers and exhibitors. And we do not push product on that, so that's strictly informational.
As a good blog should.
That's right. And also, they can take a test drive of iLeads by visiting our website.
Okay. Well, excellent. I appreciate the time you've spent, Lou, and we'll stay in touch, and you'll hear this soon on the Trade Show Guy blog, I'm sure.
And you know what I'm going to do, Tim? Now, first of all, the next thing I do is order a replacement camera. So if we do this again, you can see that you're talking to a 74-year-old guy.
Who sounds like he's having a lot of fun in his
smile. I'm reminded that almost every day because my daughter is about to turn 25. So.
Yikes. Well, Lou, I appreciate it, and it's nice to catch up with you. Thank you.
Thanks an awful lot. All the best.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Trade Show Marketing Podcast with our special guest, Lou Hoff of Bartizan. And if you want to figure out where to track him down, you can do that by just checking the show notes and find out more about iLeads if you are an event organizer or if you are an exhibitor that wants to find more about how to use iLeads at your next show. It's the Trade Show Marketing Podcast. I'm Tim Patterson, Trade Show Guy. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google+, you name it, I'm there.